what was he wearing? Well, he predicts, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. Hmm? No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to the latest Surviving Grady podcast. My name is Red, his name is Denton, and I really am at a loss for words because, as you hopefully saw on the blog, Denton posted something about it. It looks like Uncle Leo has left us.
He won't be showing up for breakfast tomorrow morning.
It's Uncle Leo from Seinfeld. Still the funniest show ever. There's nothing, nothing with the possible exception of the Crockett's Victory Garden, that old PBS series. Nothing funnier, and nothing will ever come close to Seinfeld, I would say, in terms of TV sitcoms.
You gotta go back a ways to find the short-lived San Pedro Beach Bums. Always one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
Look it up.
That was
it existed. Look it up.
Jerry. Hey, Uncle Leo. I like to get into impressions every once in a while here. I think that's good. That's my Seinfeld, anyways. Hi, Uncle Leo. I met him once. Did I ever tell you that? I met him. Remember, there used to be...
Hey, well, you said he was a jerk.
It wasn't... You know, I'm 75 years old, and back in the... Christ, I think it was like the early 90s in Worcester. They had a place called... I forget it was called the Palladium or the... I don't know what the hell it was called. I think it was the Palladium. It was a short-lived nightclub that... Living Color played there, a couple of bands that were popular at that time. But Jerry was there, and at the time... His show had just come on. I liked the stuff he used to do on The Tonight Show, and his show had been on for a while, and it was called the Seinfeld Chronicles. And he was, at the end of his gig, he was at the bar chatting up a couple of local college chicks, and I happened to go up. I mean, and when you're chatting up college chicks, the last thing you want is some pasty, pale, goofy-looking, smacked-ass guy coming up to you. But that's exactly what I did, and I went up to him. I really liked your show. Oh, right. And but he signed my ticket. I gave him the ticket and asked him to autograph it, so he did. So that's pretty convincing, isn't it?
Better than a kick in the nuts, yeah. As I always say.
And it makes you feel like you're doing the podcast with Seinfeld, doesn't it? Yeah, right. Ortiz came into camp today. Anyway, everyone's in camp today, and it's exciting. I think, despite the fact that Emily Benjamin isn't there, I get pretty jazzed to see everyone coming into camp.
I haven't seen Pedroia with the long hair yet.
The long hair?
I hear he's growing it out or got a comb over going or something.
On his back? What is this? Guy actually has a worse hairline than me. I mean, my forehead became a five-head a long time ago, and his is a...
I only report the news as I hear it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I do. It's amazing that Uke is clean-shaven again, but of course this guy can grow a beard in the time it takes you and I to drink a glass of water, so I'm not that concerned about it, but he is clean-shaven, at least as far as I could tell. He was on, this afternoon, he was on Nesson's Spring Training Live with the Gammons and...
the shirt sales.
Exactly.
Yeah. Damn it, grow the beard back.
Actually, it kind of makes them rare collector's items now. So we
there
can,
you go. That might sell.
We have that angle. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love Terry Francona. I as much as I like to mock the guy from time to time, I like him a lot. He seems like a nice guy. But he's just you won't find him more low key. It's almost like you have to remind yourself he's awake and conscious. He's watching his interviews. He's like, well, you know, we got a pretty good group of guys here, and we're going to play out the season, and we're pretty excited. But you know, take it one game at a time. I would love. And I say this just hypothetically because, of course, we wouldn't really want him here, but just for once to have like an Ozzie Guillen as the manager. Imagine the shit he could do in a high-profile gig like managing the Boston Red Sox. Imagine Ozzie pull. I mean, that would be the spring training show that he'd just sitting there greeting them as they come in like, hey, what the fuck? Hey, you come into my camp with those bitch tits? Get out of here, man. You know, I mean, you could just see him yelling at the players and slapping them with hot towels and showering them in cold gravy and shit like that. Just not a euphemism, by the way. But just doing that, I think he'd be a friggin' riot to watch.
Hey, if you put the right chemical in the old Bigelow tea, you might get the guy you're looking for.
I know. Just something, a little liveliness, something different. Anyway, one of the things that we wanted to do for this podcast, and it rose out of kind of a goofy argument that Denton and I started having, and we said, well, you know what, save it. Let's talk it out. We'll do it on the next podcast. And when you hear it, when it kind of comes across, you'll say, man, there really isn't much of a rack to hang this thing on. But hear me out. I was talking to Denton, and I said, You know, we all know, anyone who reads this blog even casually knows where Denton stands on the J.T. Drew issue. and he doesn't, he's not shy about it. Myself, I'm not a rabid, crazed J.D. Drew fan, but I like the guy, especially considering what he's gone through and the problems he had with one of his sons. It was similar to a medical thing that one of my kids went through. So I, does that, you know, I kind of have that quote-unquote bond, if you will, at least a little sympathetic to him. But nonetheless,
this is whole narcolepsy issue. He's
exactly, exactly. Him, this is a talk show. Him and Terry Francona for like an hour. Just on there, and eating turkey sandwiches. Just imagine that. We'll call it Tryptophan Theater. Just be the two of them. Well, what do you think, JD? You think, well, yeah, I think that could be great. Throw on, get Uncle Leo on that. We'll sell some tickets. Right, right. They're together, JD Drew, Terry Francona, I like it. Anyway, I had said that the JD Drew bias is such that, had 2000, now, bite my tongue, I know. If 2004 never happened, that J.D. Drew's Grand Slam would be as big as the steal. It's almost overshadowed, but it really was, much like the steal, a turning point. We were down in the series. We were down 3-2. And that Grand Slam, from the guy you least expected it from, with that one swing of the bat, basically redeemed himself. Not that he needed redemption, but he just sort of earned his dough, as some might say. And then, of course, you know, that was your turning point. From that, we outscored the Indians 19-4 over the last 17 innings of that series. And we had had 3 straight losses in games 2 through 4, so it was really it really meant a lot. But that's my argument. I say that even without 2004. Even if 2004 happened, I think the steal, if you're going to put up a statue of the steal, a Dave Roberts statue, I think you put a statue of J.D. Drew up next to him. And you don't seem to agree with me?
Allow me to retort. It was the first friggin' inning. They had already won Game 5. It was the first friggin' inning of Game 6. It's not even close. The steal was the Yankees. The steal was the ninth inning. The steal was elimination. There was no next game, next inning. There was nothing. There was just year 87 of misery if he didn't steal that base. I can't even grasp my small pea-sized brain around how you can compare the two.
I just think that it's, you know, again, it was a situation where, you know, let's say he strikes out. And let's say the Red Sox lose that game, and you know, and then it's all forgotten. Then, you know, people say, "Oh, 2004 was a fluke," you know, blah blah blah. They had to win eventually. I mean, this was big. I mean, I think that his this. I'm really not winning the argument here, am I?
As you mentioned, they went on to score a shitload more runs. It's not like they won the game 4-0.
I know. I just think, you know, I just look to it as another instance of. You know, it was a situation where the chips were down. You know, you didn't quite know what was going to happen, and you had a guy at the plate who, you know, you didn't quite know what you were going to get out of him. I mean, I'm sure most people thought he might strike out or whatnot. But
I sure as hell did. But and that's what makes the steal more impressive, because everybody knew Roberts was sent in as a pinch runner. He was going to steal. They might as well friggin' put it up on Diamond Vision. Hey, he's going. And he went, and he still made it.
All good points.
Things didn't turn into a slap fight when we were talking about it. a couple tough guys like us.
Especially if we've been drinking. Oh, my
Absolutely.
God.
That's right.
To send a couple of ladies in to break us up. Well, you know what? Maybe in retrospect, perhaps now I see the light. But I've always
mentioned Kirk Schilling was on the mound in Game 6. Don't get that.
Yeah, but it's just amazing to me that was such a big moment in that ALCS. And you know, you sometimes wonder if 2004 didn't happen. 2004 did happen, and obviously it's amazing that it did. And everything there is just, I mean, Christ, we talk about Kevin Millar walking to set up the stele as if it was some religious event, because it was in many ways. We analyze every facet, everything that happened, because it was just so amazing that all these dominoes fell into place to make that happen. But, you know, 2007, it was miraculous too. It was a pretty good time, but it almost gets forgotten in the, it will forever be in the shadows of 2004.
I think 2007 kind of legitimized 2004 to the point where it wasn't just, like you said, oh, 2004 was an aberration, every team's going to win eventually, and, you know, it's another 86 years in the making here. So 2007, yeah, in that regard, I think was definitely huge. I'm not sure how big a part that Grand Slam was.
Well, he did provide all the runs we needed to win that game. And it was kind of the catalyst, if you will, for getting us to a game seven. So if you say he basically won that game with that swing of the bat. Now, granted, it was the first inning we did have.
He hasn't done a goddamn thing since.
What work had to be done, but I still say that if 2004 didn't happen, then, you know, J.D. Drew, I don't think anyone would ever say a bad word about him. He would just be forever that. Like, Dave Roberts will never pay for a drink in this town, ever. Dave Roberts, if he had stayed with us and he went 0 for, 250 every single season since then, he'd still be, you wouldn't boo him. Who could boo Dave Roberts? You know, if you walked in and caught him banging your wife, you'd say, hey, here he goes again. He's amazing. Look at him go. She seems happy. She's happy. She's getting banged by Dave Roberts. She likes it. Hello, Leo. But yeah. I still think that it's one of the most underrated home runs in the history of the Red Sox. I think that it's, we see the steal replayed every season, the beginning of every season. It's in your brain. You can play. You could act it out right now. You know, this pen here is Dave Roberts, and here's, you could act it out. But I just think that the Grand Slam was amazing too, and at the time it happened.
Oh, and then remember how he was, like, jumping up and down, running to first, trying to wave it fair? That was that one, right?
Yes, it was.
He's very animated.
It was. Terry Francona actually dropped his tee when that happened. He was that excited. She's happy. She's banging Dave Roberts. Get out of here. Go back.
6-2 and even.
Go back to the bar. Let her finish. He's a hero. He was the steal. You going to stop him? You going to tell him to stop fucking your wife? Get out of here! Get back to the bar!
I don't want to, like, really bash your impressions, but you sound more like the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Who's that? Cameron?
When he calls up pretending to be what's her name's father.
Rudy, you asshole! Where are they now? Where is that guy who played Cameron Fry? Actually, I think he was on Spin City for a while, wasn't he? Spin City. Anyway, speaking of all right, so you know what? Maybe that was a pretty fucking lame argument to begin with, but I've always thought that the Grand Slam by J.D. Drew in Game 6 of the 2007 ALCS deserved a little more recognition. It doesn't seem to be talked about quite as much, and I've always contended
if
I've got the campaign going. You should see the flyers. Just installed PageMaker, man. I'm living in the now. I made some flyers, and there's a puppet show, and there's all kinds of other. There's a lot of snack foods. We'll see.
One of those buttons.
A flipping skit. Once my work is done, you'll say, "Steel, what was that? What was that? The steel."
What does Puppet Red think of the Grand Slam?
We'll have to ask him. Puppet Red will. He'll be back. Actually, Puppet Denton is the next step. The podcast going forward shouldn't be the two of us cackling. It should be the puppets talking via video, and that's what we're working on at some point. And I was actually trying to get Meatloaf. Well, we'll talk about that later. That's a surprise. We're going to see if we can get Meatloaf to be on a podcast with us. So point taken, you win. But really, I was just trying to get a little more. Raised the point that I think the in the shadow of the steal, I think in the shadow of 2004, the steal, the Grand Slam gets a little overlooked. But
all right, we get the point.
And,
next.
Now
you have something else to
use
us with.
We've got a couple of. I got one here. We did something on the last podcast. You know, we get from time to time people send us emails and they'll call us jerks or something like that. And I say, I type back, please, I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't mean it, and then that's it. But you know, occasionally we get it. Most of them are from people who send us links to link to their site and stuff. And I, honest to God, I just forget. People write back a couple of days and say, "You pompous ass! You pompous ass! I sent you my site. You didn't link it. I'll fucking come to your house with some fire." He'll come with some fire. I'm bringing fire to your house. Anyway, they say things like that. And honestly, we've said this from day one. We're just a couple of assholes in a house. You know, I mean, I forget shit. I don't read most. I mean, the emails come in. Someone writes, we appreciate every single email that comes in. But honestly, people ask us for links and stuff like that. Most of the time, I just forget. I forget. I don't know how most of this shit works. We got robots and stuff that do all this HTML madness for us. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. Anyway, but I got something today. I hopefully everyone follows us on Twitter at Surviving Grady. We're also on Facebook. Hopefully you've seen the Surviving Grady fan page. But anyway,
what's this Facebook all about?
What's this internet? But I put out, and you know, during the day when the work day gets a little slow, let's just say I'll sometimes pick up the old droid, not a euphemism, and I'll throw some things up on Twitter. Actually, Heidi Watney responded to something. Oh, Heidi Watney's intern, whoever the hell does her tweets. We had put something up there today, and she actually responded to it. But at any rate, I put something up. And again, it means nothing. It's just I just put something up there. I posted, once again, I think Teddy Pendergrass will be a late arrival to spring training. What does it mean? I don't know. I'm just being stupid, silly, an idiot, whatever, and all of the above.
That's the glue talking.
So a little bit later, I get an email, and the subject line is just Teddy Pendergrass. So I say, well, this isn't good.
Still dead.
Well, this isn't good. And it was literally an email, and I'll try to render it in a fancy voice, because what we try to do, this is dramatic readings of angry emails, but it's quick. It's not that many words. But anyway, I guess it's more like the Cameron Fry voice, as you say, because that's apparently what I'm doing. That's apparently who I'm channeling when I'm doing Jerry. But anyway, Here it is. Fancy interpretations of angry emails we get. "Nice rip on Teddy Pendergrass today. You realize he's a music legend in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." And they called me an asshole. You asshole. Yes. First of all, is Teddy Pendergrass in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't know. We can look that up. I think they might be smoking crack. Teddy Pendergrass can't be in the Rock and Roll Hall. What the fuck did he sing? I don't even know his songs. What did he sing? I confuse him with Charlie Pride. Doesn't Charlie Pride look like him? Does he? Oh, here you go. That's not too controversial. I'm going to put on my shirt. I love white people. I still love white people.
White you're talking about?
Me and David Ortiz still love white people. Anyway, Teddy Pendergrass, I don't believe is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is he? What the fuck? I don't even know what he sings. He's the guy, right? He's the guy in, he was like in a wheelchair for a while, too.
What?
Was he? Yeah, he was. He had like a bad accident or something like that. Or
really?
I mean, I'm not poking fun. It's obviously not funny. It's tragic, but I just don't, I think he was. And then he...
Dead or alive? Is he dead?
He passed last year, yes, unfortunately. But anyways, I obviously didn't mean anything, any disrespect, anything. I just, that name popped into my head, and I mean, if you looked at some of the shit we tweet up there, I mean, it's mostly meaningless. It's meaningless than the shit we put up on the blog. But anyways, we duly noted, angry Teddy Pendergrass fan, and we promise not to do that again. But I think you're fucking wrong about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Fuck that noise. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They let ABBA in, didn't they? It wouldn't surprise me if it was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think you don't even have to be a rock and roll artist to be in there anymore. I don't know. Isn't Slim Whitman in there?
Why are you bad-mouthing ABBA?
I don't know.
I grew up rocking up to ABBA.
Here come the angry letters from the Swedes. You bastard! Good impressions. Anyway, you got anything else to add before we put this shit out of its misery?
Anything else? I think I've stolen enough time from these people's lives.
Anyway, it's an exciting time to be a Red Sox fan, and they're going to win 102 games. You can write that down, by the way, and thank me when it finally happens. And
when Mikey Adams. Mikey Adams gave him 103.
He's the man. We got to get him on one of these podcasts.
We definitely.
Can't we just call him and say? He obviously knows. Hey, you're the guys who
for free beer.
You're the guys who pissed off Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, that's right.
He might be a fan too. I'm pissed off everybody. I don't give a shit. I'll take all the fucking Teddy Pendergrass fans on. Me and my pitchfork.
Take them on.
Me and my pitchfork. Anyway, All right, we wasted enough of your time, and I think we did actually talk a little bit about the Red Sox there, but we're very excited about the season. Obviously, some great things coming up, and we'll be here, and we hope that you will be here as well. Until then, my
he
name is...
He throws away a beautiful watch like this.
Uncle Leo.
I'm
going to find an Uncle
Leo.
I'm going to find an Uncle Leo soundbite and put it at the end of this, and he'll play us out. We'll get something. Maybe the eyebrows thing. The eyebrows picture you posted is genius, by the way. That was a great episode. All right, that's enough. My name is Red. His name is Denton. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.